Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode. And today we've got back on the show Lauren Kurth. How are you going, Lauren?
Good, Pete. How are you going?
Good. Thanks for coming back on.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, we originally started talking when I had you last on the show, which it would have to be around a year ago now, I think.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's close to a year because you came in March, so it would have been February, yeah.
Yeah. After that, I went up to go and see Giles, and when doing that, we... did the Skywatch together. I did a talk up there, which you hold up there now. You're doing them fortnightly.
Yes.
Do you want to just give the viewers and listeners just a quick overview of what you do? We've had you on the show before, so they could go back and listen to more, but would you just want to give everyone just a quick overview?
Sure. Well, I'm the founder of Aussie City, which is Oz is in Light and Contact with Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and I'm running fortnightly CE5 groups. Out in Conondale National Park, and I'm also a heifer as well, a sound resonance therapist, and I have my own healing modalities and a deep state trance hypnotherapist. I do lots of stuff actually. I zap parasites and tune up energy fields at a quantum level and do all sorts of things. Yeah.
So you cover a wide variety.
I do. I try and keep it interesting. And keep it fresh.
That's it. We're always learning and doing something new. And you've been trained by some of the best in doing what you do as well, like world-renowned people. So this is where you've been doing this for a while. You've been studying and actually, you know, doing the practical side of this, actually doing stuff for quite some years now, haven't you?
I have. I've worked briefly with Mary, as you know, Mary Rodwell. She's a lovely friend and has given me guidance on hypnotherapy techniques and working with contactees and just about, you know, how to question people so that you're getting their answers and no suggestion and that sort of thing. And also with the late Dolores Cannon, learnt my deep state trance hypnosis in Melbourne with her. And then currently I'm studying exploring unified physics with Nassim Haramine, which is for the free energy technology. I met Nassim when he came over in 2013 at the same time with Stephen Greer when I was his assistant and driver, and they came to Australia to actually have a talk with 120 world delegates about UFO disclosure and free energy technology. So I jumped on board about 2 months ago, and it's just an online study, and it's fascinating, it's amazing. It's about a worldview shift on who and how we interact with the universe and also the free energy technology, which is fascinating. And it actually aligns with my work, my modality, which I did get some of it from my ET friends, just sort of guided on how to put it together and how to work with sacred geometry and frequency, almost matched what Nassim's doing with his free energy technology, which was awesome. So, and actually when I met Nassim, I powered myself up and he could feel me drawing from the quantum field, which was awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's good you bring that up, because even with I didn't know much about Metatron's cube or any of that stuff, and funny enough, I had an experience the year before now, and then I move up to Giles's, we hang out, you had experiences with Metatron, Mary had that whole thing going on up there, which she thought it was some friggin' transformer, because she didn't know much about it, she thought it was her kid, you know, the grandchildren's thing kicking in, and this is where...
That was amazing, because I had just done some stuff with my chakras. I took all my chakras out, and they put Metatron's cube into my field so that the platonic solids, they move, and you can connect with any being, because everyone has their own geometry and frequency in their cells. And I happened to see Mary, and she wasn't going to tell any of us what she'd been getting, because she said, I don't normally get information before we meditate. And I mentioned Metatron's cube, and she was like, ah, that's what it is. And it's to do with the portal up there, because I know
exactly. You've
been in the portal. Mm. Before I met you, when I first went and stayed with Giles and Brittany, I crystal gridded their property, and I opened that portal. That was one of the things I knew I had to do when I met Giles.
Well, you were there that night when the friggin' craft came out of the trees and went into the ground.
That was fantastic. Yeah. Brilliant.
And I was having I was getting told that Metatron, and it was Shiji elaborated in Milady's book, saying that there's all these different portals and Metatron overlooks them all, but then you've got these guardians, like you've got the ancient ones, so it could be Aboriginals or the ancient Indians or whatever at these portals, but then you've got the guardians, which are the white greys, the small and tall. And I was seeing them all the time on the property on and off. And it was just trippy how we all connected up. And I didn't know anyone that had experiences at the time with Metatron, yet did I even... I didn't even know nothing about Metatron. I didn't even bother investigating because I just didn't know. I was thinking, well, some dude thinks it's Metatron and is communicating with me. And then I met you, Mary, and you're all talking the same thing. And same with Giles's cat turning into a friggin' 7-foot cat. And then you and Dina had similar experiences with the same cat.
Absolutely, yeah. It's pretty trippy and wild, but it's really great when we're all having the same experiences because it makes it a bit more tangible and a bit more real, you know, to get together. And we've all come from different ends of the country and we're having the similar experiences all at the same time, which is awesome.
Well, that's what happened. And even at Giles's place, the bed shaking, I wake up and go, the bed was shaking, this cat turned into 7 foot, and you go, oh, my bed shook too. And then Dean comes out and everyone says they've had the same thing happen. It all is just correlating evidence. But with what you do with the sound frequency and all that, do you want to explain to the viewers how that works with the healing side of things, with the sound frequencies and what it can do, especially with going into geometry now and all the energy side of things that you are? Do you want to go into that sort of side there?
Sure. Well, I work with a set of crystal singing bowls, which are made from 99% quartz that's crushed and heated and spun into a massive bowl that has a musical note. And as some people know through Dr. Emoto's work in cymatic healing, musical frequencies create geometric patterns in the water molecules of the body. So I run two classes a week for an hour. A sitting meditation where we do a visualization activating the flower of life in all our cells to expand consciousness and release your own light. And the sound just fills the body and it works on the molecules. It brings up your stuff and it helps clear it on. We use visualizations with geometry to clear things, but the sound really gets you into an altered state. So most people go out of body and it's quite hilarious because I'll be sitting in a room full of people and everyone's like this. They're asleep and the deep healing happens then. It's like when you sleep and the subconscious can heal you. And I have a pretty good psychic ability as well, so I get to see and feel what everyone does. But I also, through the sound and the way the sound resonates off the human body and the human field, I can tell what it is they need to shift. So I know what bowl to play for how long when it's clear. And it's really a cellular clearing. And sometimes it activates DNA, brings up things they need to work on or clear away stuff that they work on. And I've had a wonderful lady who's been coming twice a week now for about 6 months who has leaking heart valves and it was severe. And she's now down to mild. And all she's done has been coming to sound healing and dealing with her stuff that works on the physical body. I've also had great success with things like Lyme's disease, working on the bacteria, babesiosis and things that's in the body, the frequency actually killing it. So, because we're all energy, as you know.
Yeah.
And it just makes you more connected and grounded. People are more connected with their guides, you know, and we quite often... I sing as well. After an ET experience, I think I mentioned it last time, I started toning 528 hertz and now I'm toning 432 hertz.
Yeah, we had Michael Lee Hill on the show who's filmed a lot of great crafts over Lake Erie. I'll actually see if I can... Have I got it here? I've had him on the show and I got this disc off him. Actually, I'll just get it. I've got to jump behind this thing here.
Sure.
Which is our bedroom, but... Actually, while I get up, here's my t-shirt, actually. Everyone. Reptilian dildo bangers.
I'll keep talking because I'm good at that. I've been toning the frequency and singing, and quite often people actually think there's other people in the room. I'll be sitting in the centre of the circle inside my bowls on a chair and someone thinks I'm singing in their ear. And they can hear it, but quite often I've been having three beautiful, I think, Mycerian beings, and we've had some tall white sort of greys that people have seen, and they triangulate around the room, and they sing with me, and it's like the music comes to me, and then my our voices or the sound merges, and my voice resonates perfectly with the bowl, and it's very emotional. You know, people cry. It just really, the 432 makes them feel very safe in the world. It's like the positive harmonic of the universe, and yeah, it's great. It does emotional, spiritual, and physical. It's wonderful.
And you did some of that when we were doing the CE5 up with yourself, which we'll go into a little bit later.
Sure.
Michael Lee Hill, he's been on UFO Hunters and a lot of shows and news in America,
sure,
filming amazing crafts. He's in contact with the Anunnaki, which is the Syrian faction, which are the Elohim, which is similar to what you're in contact with. You've got the Syrian connection, so does Sol. He recorded, he tuned his guitar to 432, played a note, and this is what they got.
Oh, I got goosebumps.
And there's a friggin' flower of life. And
yes.
Now, if you watch, there's a video Sol put up. I wish there wasn't that much reflection. This thing looks perfect when you have the sea. Look at that with the sun.
Do you know that people are seeing very, because we activate the flower of life in the beginning of the meditation before the sound. And I've had people have seen that portal moving in front of them in their visualization, changing colours like that. And I believe it's opening the pineal gland,
mm-hmm,
and releasing the DMT so they can have more of a spiritual experience, which is good. It's like opening that gateway that you can't close.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you can't go back. Can't go back. Well, these are the Syrian healing discs, I think they're called, and they've got copper wrapping around them. So these are used for healing now, and I meditate with it on and off, but a lot of this I learned about, I wouldn't have known about before talking to him. I learned through you and what you do, because I just didn't know much about geometry and symbols. And
that would probably be great for my quantum cellular resonance, because to sit on the body during the session and play the frequency through it with the tuning forks.
Yep.
Yeah.
That would help.
Up for where you got it when we're done.
Yeah, yep. I know there's links up on his website and his blog, so I'll send those through to you for sure. Now, you've got CE5 events happening fortnightly, don't you, up there?
I do. Every fortnight I hire a private property, and we go out and it's a very heart-space group. I use a lot of sound again. I do use the crop circle tones from Stephen Greer's ET app, which is great. It's got the magnetometer and all of that on it. But I have a friend called Brian T. Collins. So if everyone wants to look him up, he has created amazing 432 sound music, especially for CE5 movement. And I've been very privileged to listen to it before he's put it out. You can buy it on Bandcamp really cheap. So I play a lot of his music, and they absolutely love it. I had my biggest encounter. I still haven't written a report because I'm so awestruck at what happened, where they shut down all my equipment and would only play one of Brian's tones. And it started out, we had six lights, five in a row and one up to the left come in, and then three light tubes in between the two lights with an orange coil-looking electricity going from the ground side up, and it kind of looked like lightning. And then when the music come on, out of those tubes came three big lights, and they traversed the sky with the music, the whole sky. It was absolutely the most amazing experience and sighting I've ever had. And, of course, their night vision died and the camera died and everything. It would only let me play that song. So I use a lot of music. I like music. It gets people out of their thinking mind and into a heart space and into their intuitive self to perceive. And I also have a new bowl. When I saw you, I had a rose quartz, and I broke that doing a wheelie out of my driveway. And I bought a new one, and it's clear quartz coated with gold, and that resonates the pineal gland. So I play that after the smudging and blessing into people's head and throughout, and you know, they're usually showing up before we can even finish a coherent thought sequence. So.
Well, we had a good time. That's still one of the best ones I've done when I came up with you.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. Everyone still talks about it. It was amazing.
Yeah, well, we had the, we filmed some great stuff. Everyone had grand activity, whether they were seeing it or not. Everyone knew that was going on. We had the Lotus Geometric dudes come in, and
the healing was amazing.
Yeah. You know,
my friend Marcus that you met, who had the back healing. Was it his back? Yeah. And he was in a bit of pain afterwards. He's a bit freaked out at what happened, but he's still, you know, that's a year ago, and he's still pain-free, and he had to work on his body every day for years from that injury. A friend, Phil, still doesn't have neck problems anymore.
Yeah,
and, you know, a few of those people have turned vegetarian that were at that group. They've had a whole new way of looking at the world, which is pretty, that's what it's about.
And they were interacting through the device, remember the beeping thing, talking to it, and it was funny too, because again, it's been happening since you saw my eyes and everything changed at your dinner table, and then that dude who said, I can't even remember meeting that guy that came up to me, said, has anyone told you your eyes turned turquoise blue?
No, your eyes went, it was a lavender purple he saw.
Was it? Yeah, I thought he said blue, but it was just funny because when he's telling me, I can't remember meeting him that night until he's come up to me at the end of the night, and he sort of looks like he's shitting himself, like, I don't know if I should be telling him this or not, but yeah. Then he told me, and I'm like, I can't even, I didn't want to say to him, I can't remember meeting you, because I didn't want to sound rude, but I can't even remember meeting him first in the night when he said it was like something else was working through me, and my eyes changed to a different colour.
That's why I remember Pete, because something else was, you know.
Something else, like you said, when that was happening at the table and all that too, it was like something else jumped in. And that this is what's happening. You pick up on that all the time. You're psychic, you're an experiencer. So you've got similar stuff going on as well, just as much.
Yeah. I've had quite a bit of dream state contact lately, and they've actually been waking me up at night. I sleep in my room with the curtains open. I like to sleep with the sun. After getting sick earlier in the year, I decided to get into the rhythm of nature more and slow down. And one night I got woken up and massive big bang in the house, and I actually thought someone was breaking in. And so I went out, who's out there, you know, and approached them, and nothing there. And something had fallen down in my cupboard that just couldn't have done it on its own. It's like an A-frame. And it had slammed to the ground. So come back to bed, and there's a craft outside the window flashing me and buzzing me, and I felt like I was levitating on the bed, and massive download about some work I'm going to be doing.
Was this the Syrians you're connecting with, or you're not sure it was other groups or guides or your guides?
To be honest, I didn't tune in. I was in such bliss. I just went to what I was getting.
Yeah.
The energy that was going through me was overwhelming, beautiful but very strong. And then two nights later, I got woken again, and it was the one night I'd closed my curtains, and I'd actually had to physically move my bed to close my curtains, then I pushed my bed back up against it, and this night they'd open my curtains. And there's no way, you'd have to move my whole bed to do that. And there it was again, and I said to it, all right, power up. And it powered up, but it did something else. I call it a UFO burnout, you know, like a car doing a smoky, and it left two... You know how you get the old iron bar heaters and they glow orange?
Yeah.
And they glow out. Two massive streaks across the sky, and it was gone. And I went, no way, I'd do it again. And it came back and did it again. And then I got the buzzing again, and then put out like that really big sleep. Woke up with marks down the back of my neck and a very electrical feeling, like I'd had my nervous system worked on or something. I don't know. But I wasn't myself for a few days, and... I started affecting lights and electrical appliances again. So, but I didn't blow anything up this time.
Oh, that's always a help. It was funny because I had a couple of marks on my chest the other day just from sitting in the bath. It was like a bang, and then there was two prong marks. I've got it shown, so I'm like, all right. And then I talked to Damien Knott yesterday, and then all my electronic stuff goes to shit. And then... last night, I thought stuff, but I watched this Star Trek movie, and I've just only started getting into Star Trek. I've never been into any of that. And this apparition, I couldn't see what it was. An apparition walked through the wall and into the dining table and blinked out. And I'm like, all right. And then all of a sudden, about an hour later, there was a flash in the lounge room. And then I look at my clock, and it's 11:11, and I'm told to go outside, and Sol's in bed here, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm just like, don't worry. And I go outside, and two crafts come over, and I filmed them last night. I'll put it up later. And I was just thinking, this is what happens for you and me all the time, and so many people have got no idea.
And I keep a lot of it to myself because, you know, you're trying to remain normal, especially, you know, in the community, I suppose. I had an article go out in our local paper, so I've had a lot more people come in, and people have enjoyed that I am normal and still grounded. And to me, it is normal. I mean, I cope with it fine. It's, yeah.
Well, Joel's helped me with that, keeping grounded, because I needed it.
and apparently I grounded him, so.
but it's what we do need, like. Yeah. People, like Damon was saying yesterday, it's a good laugh about this T-shirt. It shows that you're sort of paying it out, but you're not, you know. It's getting, you know, the reptilian dildo banger T-shirts. But we all have a sense of humour. We're all normal, and you can't be... I think if you're all prim and proper all the time in this field, it would do your head in because of what you're going through alone on top of everything out there, what's going on. You've got to have some form of sense of humour.
You do. You have to, and you have to find some normality and keep have a good time, because people, you know, there's people out there that are going to judge you or whatever, regardless of who you are. So you might as well be yourself. You know, I'm a bit like you, Pete. I've got nothing to hide. Mm. And, you know, and the day you stop being yourself, you know, it's no fun anymore.
Yeah.
And the ETs love it. You know what it's like. You have a good laugh, and they like a reptilian dildo being a joke.
Yeah, well, I could say something. I won't say it at the moment. I better not. It'll probably be out there for too much. But I've joked a bit.
Pineapple, does it, Pete?
What's that, though?
Doesn't involve pineapple, does it?
No.
We watched your little cooking class.
We saw.
Yeah, brilliant.
I'll tell you a story.
Okay.
All right. This is my sense of humour, people. I was sitting there with my neighbour, my old neighbour, who's actually a friend of mine, who was in my last documentary, Prue. And she actually, we had an awesome week. The kids, myself, my brother and Prue and my family were down at Mount Buffalo. But in the past, we're at my old place out the front, and for fun, I was joking, but this is my sixth sense of humour. I said, what would you do if you found your daughter with your dildo?
Oh, dear.
And she just pissed herself laughing, and we had a good sighting. And then I said it about 2-3 minutes later again, and every time I said this joke as a muck around, she was laughing at it going, how the hell is that possible? She goes, they've got to have a sense of humour. And this is what I was saying. I said, they do have a sense of humour.
I think too, it's the energy we give off when we're happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You attract that vibe which you put out. Like Giles was saying when he was at James's, the shit they were doing and laughing about, all of a sudden you get all this great activity, and it was all the people that were sort of up themselves that they didn't get much at all going on.
And I find when I'm having a good time and I'm laughing, the orb photos are amazing.
Which I witnessed with you when we were doing all that in Mulaney.
Yeah, yeah.
You were asking them to come in and we're changing the vibe.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, we still say child all the time
child.
And stuff like that during the group. And then we have all photos.
It does help us. Reminds me, you took me to some sort of rainforesty area in Mulaney where it was...
We can cross.
And we had the black shadow run in front of us.
Yeah. Did you see I posted a photo?
And it's like a being in the...
It is. And I put it into a negative form as well, and you can see it. And I caught that before you came along. My sister and I were walking in there, and she saw a blue light beam in with our physical eyes, and so we went over and took the photo, and we saw it as confirmation to go ahead with the public groups.
Yep.
Because
you did that about a month before I even got up there. I think you were up there for a walk, and you got that.
Yeah, we got lots of stuff that night. I went over my photos, and there was little orbs following us around and all sorts, but... It'd be great to go in there and do something late at night. But there's an energy. It's an 1111 gateway in there that runs from the mountains into the forest there. So there's lots of activity.
No, definitely. It was
the shadow beings all the time. You know, I've had them in my room and just observing. So.
What do you think some of them are?
I've got a few theories.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think... Well, usually they're just observing. I've never had a bad experience with them. I tend to notice them when I'm thinking about plans, whether I'm just being observed. Sometimes I wonder whether there's surveillance happening as well.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
Artificial, because it's just the feeling. I feel like I'm being watched and it's not a nice feeling. It gives me a little bit of anxiousness. And I find they're a bit messier. They knock things over when it's, you know, it's like trying to sneak in through the wall. But what do you think they are, Pete?
There's different, like, I think that it's almost anything can do at this sort of stage of consciousness where it can just manifest that form. Like, I've had experiences where I know they're tricksters, and then I've had experiences where I know there was an archonic type nature, but still nothing negative came from it.
Yeah.
The Elohim was showing me the real tall ones, that they were shape-shifting from Dracos in physical form to that. And I had an experience in person, which is going to be related in that documentary with David Icke that I'm doing. But I think a large majority is more like a trickster element. I think they're not, like, I've been to places where, as you know, I've been asked to go to places to validate or get evidence for paranormal activity, like hauntings. Sure. And there was one place where, at the Beechworth Asylum, there was an area where 9,000 people died, the infirmary, and there was a shadow dude activity. And this was not negative. This shit was just having fun. Like, you couldn't chase it. Your electronics are going out. But it was, you know, they were proper shadow dudes. One time, after I filmed, I took a photo of a disc, or a couple of photos of two discs up at Red Light Hill. I went home and I got out of the shower, and a shadow man in black with a top hat,
yeah,
walked behind me, like, while I'm out of the shower, and all of a sudden, all my evidence, my computer went the crap, and I was lucky I backed up that evidence before I even had a shower, because it was a big hill I had to go up.
I've seen the shadow guys with the hat, and I think they're the surveillance.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I've had experience with which would be the Archon as well, which was more of a psychic attack, I suppose, in my sleep state, where it actually tried to hold me down, but it was trying to take my energy, and it was trying to invoke a bit of fear in me, just the way it was holding me down and the voice that was I was hearing. And, you know, I just powered up my heart and sent it a heart blast, and it just disappeared. It had absolutely no power at all. Because that's what they feed off, your negative energy and your fear, and that's why they look dark and scary. But I actually just said, I love you, and powered out my heart, and it was gone. And that's happened to me a couple of times in this house, and I was asleep when it started, and it happened a few times, but I actually sat up and woke up. And you know on Harry Potter where you see the black wreath, and it's a bit floaty, it was kind of like that.
Yeah.
But I just think they're a lower vibration form, I guess, and they live off energy, and they need human fear and things like that to feed off, but they're not getting much off me.
Yeah, well, that's right, and like, things keep evolving for myself, and what I've found out lately is that the Archons were once the Elohim.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which puts a new spin on things for me, and I'm still trying to absorb that.
Wow.
And I've come across some other people that have pretty much said the same thing, and they said if you put in the context of the fallen ones,
it makes sense.
Makes sense. Which, yeah, we're dealing with something almost at the, apparently they lost a lot of the abilities the Elohim have, which is similar to the blue beings, I think are the same as the blue beings you're interacting with, because I've been shown in the Book of Shiji, different factions in the Pleiades, Orion and Sirius, that they're all the same beings, but they're located in different areas.
Sure,
and
sure.
They actually create like a triangular energy grid with secret portals that you need a book of knowledge to get into.
Wow.
Which is like a level of consciousness.
Sure.
But it starts to make sense that what we're dealing with once was at that same level, but once, because they lost the oneness and they went in self-service nature, they lost the capability to be able to do what the Elohim and the beings we interact with can do.
Sure.
They can still do similar stuff, but not at the level that they can, because they've lost service mode. So this is where I'm sort of going, all right, we're dealing with something intelligent, but like you said, it's a lower vibration, and yeah, we're trying to kick them, you know, screaming to change them for themselves. And like you said, that experience with the reptilian grey, which I didn't sleep in my room for over a year, I gave that love and compassion, and the thing turned into smoke.
Yeah.
And it didn't like it. And it's exactly the same as what you're saying. That's what happens.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's why with my CE5, I'm not so much about taking the photos. It's about the consciousness. And that's why I use sound and I smudge everyone and the place is gridded. You know, I've got a portal happening there to keep everyone in a heart space. You know, I've had people say, do you ever have negative experience? And it's like, no. That's what holding space is about, is keeping everyone in a heart space, and so that we're not interacting with any lower forms, and we're only inviting in the higher intelligence that want to share and want to learn about us, and we learn about them, and really just people to have that experience. Because once they see something that they know doesn't fit the logical picture, you can't turn back. You're forever wondering, and that's part of why they're coming, is really just to give us that little leap, little nudge, and opening our minds a little bit more. And it does work. People, I see it all the time, people start thinking differently about our planet and their lives and their health and each other. So, I don't think they do have a lot of power here. I think if you're aware of them and you stay in your heart space, I think we're all changing together.
Mm. So. No, it that's how it does work. And being up in Queensland, I'll tell you what, there's a total different energy up there compared to down this way as well. Like, I have to get out of the city like a couple of hours, you know, somewhere like Mount Buffalo to sort of get the energy that you guys have got up there. And that's the place to be as well. Like, you've been obviously drawn there. You're from New Zealand originally, and you had experiences over there, and this stuff's followed you no matter where you've gone.
Yeah. But you're... I lived under a mountain. Always. And I was born at the base of Mount Putuaki, about 200 metres from its base. And wherever I go, I end up being near mountains. So I was definitely drawn here.
Now, and you're at Mullaney, like the Glasshouse Mountains.
Well, yeah, I'm just out of Mullaney. I'm at a place called Berubin. And my veranda, I have a full view of the Glasshouse Mountains. And I've sent stuff under those mountains, under Crook Neck. I think I pointed it out when you were here. So we've got a beautiful positive ley line running right through our property. It's really nice, really nice.
Even with Agnes Water, I didn't realise that connected up with Uluru until I got up there. And the whole area of Queensland, like, I actually had Jocelyn on the show yesterday.
Jocelyn Bryan?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it was just funny because I was just saying, and literally when I first went up there, like, to go and see you and Giles and everyone else, what blew me out was that you were the odd one out if you hadn't had an experience in Queensland.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not normal. Like, everywhere I went, either someone was from overseas and I was, like, one of the only Australians in the friggin' area.
Yeah.
And everyone had an experience. You know what I mean? Like, that's weird.
I think the town I'm in, though, is known for alternative people. And to be honest, the Sunshine Coast seems to be a real hotspot lately in the last year. It's been on the news and papers. And, you know, sometimes I'll get, you know, up to 10 people a day will come into the centre and share their experience. And it's like, who hasn't had an experience, like you say, you know? So, it's certainly a hotspot.
Do you want to go into, like, I went and saw it. Now, some things are going on with it. You're moving it, whatever. But the Oz E-SETI Centre,
yep.
Which is basically Australian Extraterrestrial... Wait, how would you say it? Now I'm blank.
Oz is Enlightened Contact with Extraterrestrial Intelligence.
That's it.
And it's like E-SETI. You
James,
know,
I love, yeah.
What James has, you know, has what he stood for, and I've never met the guy, unfortunately. I will, but I just liked his stuff, and it resonated with me, so I modified. The centre, I've had it, it's been a year on my own in February, although I've been there for 2 years because we started out as a yoga and meditation centre, and I've had a fabulous time, and it's been a really great platform to meet people and put myself out there and promote people. Actually, I had some girls come in from down in Melbourne that had just been hanging out with you, Pete, and there was your photo on the wall, and they were completely blown away, and I showed them how to make contact, and the girls went out to the national park and had contact that night. And
yeah, they one of the girls.
Yeah, she's got the short dark
hair.
Yeah,
contacted me about that, and she said she was just blown out, yeah.
So it's been amazing, and I do my healing from there and sound healing, but unfortunately some things have happened that are out of my control. And I've made the decision just this week, actually this is the first public announcement, that I'm closing the centre. I am still continuing to do everything I am but I'm branching out. I'm going up to up Noosa way and down into Brisbane and do sound healing. And I probably will take on, I don't know, I was thinking about a market stall so I can still sell all my crystals and aura photos and promote myself that way. But part of the work that was given to me with the night experiences when they opened my curtains and things was healing retreats. So I've been busy writing and putting some workbooks together, and it's based on my quantum cellular resonance work, which is I'm trained in the subconscious mind principles and how to reprogram your patterns so that your life is flowing how you need it. And so it's basically a breakdown over 5 days, putting a retreat together with sound resonance. We've been doing a bit of night watching, but all the pampering stuff as well, and you know, massage and maybe readings and food. So juicing, raw food, salt purging to clean out the intestines. So you're getting mind, body, spirit, and ET. So I'm hoping to have those going sort of around April when it cools down. I'm just been looking at venues and just sorting out what I'm doing at the moment, finding some new spaces to work from. I think the centre in some ways has been limiting for me. A lot of my work, you know, with crystal gridding or working with people that have agoraphobia, I go to them.
Yeah.
So I'm there 6 days a week as I intended, but I'm also a solo mum. So
yeah, you are, and your kids are awesome. I stayed with you and had an absolute ball with them. It was just awesome.
Cool. They're pretty cool. So not having the centre frees me up to be able to be there for their school events and things, but it's time to branch out to more people. And going into the city is where they need the light.
Yeah, which has been shown to me, part of me being here with Soul and what we do here. And it's the same with us. We don't have a place per se, but we either do it from home or over Skype, and we're looking at doing retreats soon, whether in Bali and stuff like that.
I've been considering Bali as well. You know, really good retreat and at good price for people, you know, and still make good money for yourself, because you know you've got to have that exchange and the bills and all those things. And
you were the you paved the way for me to learn about that, because I was doing everything for nothing, and then Soul sort of overtaken with helping me to continue what you were showing me. And I you know, appreciative for the time I've spent with you and you showing me that.
It was great, you know. And you've got to value yourself, and as you know, when you do start charging and you're not ripping people off, it flows more and you get more work, you know.
That's what Mary was saying too. You just got to do it right.
To know that they're getting something for their money. It's like if it's for free, they don't do the work on themselves. But if they have to invest in themselves to better themselves, then they put the effort in. And I learned that a long time ago with my healing. But I still do a lot for free. You know, my sound healing's only $10 for an hour. So people can do it regularly, because it really is about helping people. You know, and it was great to be able to help you there, Pete, and do that. And that night watch, you know, seeing you there buzzing out and handing you that bundle of money that got you up to Agnes Waters was just a pleasure to be able to...
I had nothing.
Yeah.
And that whole trip paid for itself, and I'm like, this is how the universe works, you know? It's just...
Two-way thing, though, you know? That was our first big public night watch, and to have you along in that activity was just awesome.
Well, that's what showed it was everyone who went there, there was nearly 30 people. That was just everyone witnessed something, everyone experienced something, and it was a group thing. I was blissed out. I probably swore a bit too much like I normally do, but...
No one complained.
Yeah, and you can hear that in half of my videos. I'm swearing my head off because I'm just like a little kid when this happens, like everyone else, you know. Everyone's just like, whoa, you know, and we... Like, people need to know we do use the satellite trackers and apps and all that sort of thing. And, you know, like, for example, a lot of people don't see what you and me see, but, like, Joel's seeing the craft come out of the tree and that. I've had that land on me. And, you know, you out of many people, I can't say it to many. Like, I have said it, but they don't understand in terms of you understand how the crafts can land. They're interdimensional. They can land on your house, in your home. This is what comes with it.
We found when I'm doing my coherent thought sequence, we're not only putting out this beam of consciousness, I'm now building a dome, and everyone's feeling it very safe, but they love to land and morph over the dome. and I've done what you said, where I've stood back and I can see it's smoky, but people can feel it, and they can feel the spinning inside the dome. They're kind of unlimited, really. I always say expect the unexpected, because anything can happen, and it usually does.
Yeah, and I find that those who are not more in tune, but more able to handle in the body computer, seeing what you or me have seen, they will see it.
Yeah.
They will know when to walk out of that dome and look back and see the craft, you know, if they're meant to. Because it is a bit to take in if you're not... If I'd never had these experiences, I don't know what I'd think if I saw that. Like, Giles was just like, I see this shit all the time, and I go, well, it's a friggin' craft, man, they're beings. And he's like, you know, didn't know what to think, because he only thought something else once you or me was standing there going, you know, we all saw it, you know.
Dean saw it as well, you know, with that big... That was pretty amazing. I know when I went to his house, I'd say to him, tell me when you see something. And he said, I just gave up, because when you arrived, the energy was so high, it was just everywhere. And the same when I met you, you know, the hour of crazy before we could all settle down, because we were all shaking and swearing and joking, and it was fun. But it's non-stop, you know. You almost become a bit complacent with it, like just sitting here, there's stuff moving around my room.
I had smoky shit going on the whole time,
and go through the wardrobe, and
every now and then it
dies down a bit. Do you find it dies down a bit sometimes?
It's every day, but it depends on the intensity. Like last night was really something where, because I've been in stages lately, and I've talked to others about this, where I'm almost gonna give up everything. And I know I can't, and it's not because I haven't got the balls to it, I just can't. I've agreed to do this, and, you know, I've spoken to this with Damien and Joss and others. And what usually happens is the activity beefs up to go, like, I finished the Book of Shiji, put it for sale. As soon as I walked outside, within 5 minutes, we've got a transparent ball disc about 40 metres above the frigging house, and Sol sees it, and I'm just like, all right. And then I go in sort of a... what the hell is going on? And then last night, when you got the synchronicities of the activity, then I look at the clock and it's 11:11. I walk out and the crafts, it's just... because it's gone. I still get the stuff like with Shiji, but it's not like it once was. And it's because I'm meeting them halfway now. Yeah. But the downtime...
You know, you get used to it, and your frequency's there where it's not so extreme. It's more subtle. That's what I'm finding.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I guess it's just sometimes you're sitting here going, fuck, everything's so limiting here. You know, I know that we're here to bring through the other realms here to help raise this one, but just sometimes you just get so drained from it. You're like, you know, with people with disclosure and this and that, and then their own preconceived notions, and then I'm getting told I'm the Illuminati and all this other shit, you know. It's just a build-up, but it goes in waves.
I must say, this year I've had the same thoughts of, I could just go and get a normal job and be a normal person, and I almost hear, I can hear it now, laughter. You know, who wants to do that? But it's not the entities, it's the human beings. I'm not into competition, and I just want to do the work and help people, and every time I say that, it's exactly the same. The activity beefs up, and you know, they'll just start showing themselves, and, you know, let you know you're not alone, and we're in it together.
Yeah, and that's it. And you'd be having it probably, I'd say you've got it going on every day too, whether it's just on a thought transfer level or what, you know.
It's just, some days it's all day, every day, and some days, you know, it's one or two times, or, you know, but no, it's always there. I think being a mum, you kind of have to switch off and be normal in the community, and they'll be pointing out orbs flying around people all the time. So
it's weird like that, like meeting yourself and Giles and everyone up there. I was in Albury alone going through this, and then I meet you guys and I meet family, and I'm just so blessed to have Sol now, because Sol and me are seeing the same shit. Like, oh, we'll be in bed and we're asleep, or I think we're asleep. I'll wake up and there's a grey at the end of the bed, and she's facing that way, not looking that way, going, Pete, there's a grey at the end of the bed, and she doesn't even turn to see it. Or there's orbs, or, you know, there was one night not too long ago, I woke up and there was a craft landed on the bedroom, and there was these white light beings, and my brother said to us while we're away that he woke up to me in soul speaking star language to each other.
Wow.
I got no fucking idea of that. Like, I've got... And he's skeptical. He's like Giles. He's had experiences, but he's skeptical. And I think it freaked him out when he was telling us, because he's like, this is what's going on. But I'm blessed in that sense. And, like, you're surrounded with great people up there as well. And it does make a difference, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, it does. Yeah, we've got some good support, people. I'm very blessed. So I kind of stick to myself a little bit too, you know. I just want to do my own thing.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to work with anyone as long as they're in the right heart space.
Yeah, but the kids do make a difference, and I'm learning that now. They do keep you grounded, and even though they do keep you grounded, the activity just goes off here. And
I was going to say they up the activity too. I know my girls, because I don't take people out. It's usually 18, occasionally 16 if they're having experiences and with their parents. But my girls, they're 8 and 11, and they push for a night watch all the time. So we do them at home. Quite a lot, so they keep me going.
Nah, that's good. That's good that you do that.
Actually, I've also got a 16-year-old son, Lucan, that you've met, and all his friends are starting to see UFOs because, we talk about it, and they've come in the centre, and there's photos on my Facebook. They're wearing ET masks outside, and they, I was with one, took him to work 2 days ago, and he said my cousin got an amazing photo, and so... they're getting it sent to me so I can have it, but they're all starting to see things which is cool.
Which is what it's about, like the public awareness side of things and all that. Yeah. Anything that can help towards that, it's great. And that's what, talking to one person who talks to another, it's got that effect. We'll wrap it up in about, I think we've got about 10 minutes or more to go.
Sure.
Do you want to go, before we get... we end it, do you want to go into some of your feelings or thoughts on what's happening this year with energies, with where things are going as a collective, with, I've been talking to Joss and Sol brought this up, and it was funny because I had very similar takes on things. For example, last year it was a lot about cleaning up the baggage in terms of a collective and mainly individually. But it seems as though now, like Sol was saying, this is the year to manifest, it's a year of manifestation, and then Joss was saying the same thing. What do you feel like is going on currently for us as a collective and individually with the energies?
Sure. Well, I agree. Last year was was the best and worst year of my life. Relationship-wise, health-wise, it was shocking. But I really felt like I was being renewed and reassessing how and why I do things and keeping me focused on what I really want and not what I think I should be doing and not worrying about, because my work is my business and I'm a solo mum who supports the kids on my own, not worrying about money. And right up until the very last day of the year, I was clearing up karma, deep-seated childhood things, ex-partners with the children and big stuff, And then 2015 rolled in and it was like a breath of fresh air and everything's changed and, the centre's dissolving, new relationships, all sorts of things. And this year, to me, is about manifesting and transformation. Everyone is transforming. I got a message in a sleep state that I'd actually finished most of my earth karma last year and that it would be obvious. And leading up to the end of the year, it was very obvious because everything and anything you could think of was thrown at me. And I just thought, my God, how much more can I take? But just observe the bigger picture and not go into drama and I did that and come through and I feel like I've been renewed this year and it really is about manifesting what we want and going with your heart and living your dreams, and everyone seems to be doing it. No one wants to just work that mundane job anymore. Everyone is trying to discover who they are on a real deeper level. Already we're having massive waves of energy. I know people have been really topsy-turvy all over the place and quite ungrounded, a lot of anger, which is really just pushing out what's not serving your highest good. And the key is to just observe it and not get pulled into it and sort of ask yourself, what is the universe showing me? But I'm really excited about this year. I think, there's going to be, double the amount of people waking up, a lot more contact. They've told me we'll be getting a lot more contact. You know, I'm always hoping for the big landing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but really it's about transformation and manifesting. I feel like we're manifesting everything with thought. And I know we are because I've only got to think it and it shows up. So.
Well, that's been happening for myself. And, like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I agree with all that. And I get the same stuff energetically-wise. It's like I just don't know what to think or do anymore because it's like I'm a vehicle for something else that I'm not even in control. And all this stuff's just happening. And it's all positive.
Well, I'm the same. I mean, really, what do I know? What do any of us really know? We don't. You know, and it is, I mean, that's what manifesting is, though, just allowing it to happen. Always taking action, but trusting that the right things are going to happen and just let it flow. And honestly, I think anything could happen this year. Mm. I felt a lot of energy with our planet, and I wonder whether we'll be having a bit more earthquakes and that sort of thing because the planet's changing with us. But really, I don't know what's going to happen this year. My sole purpose this year is to just be happy.
Yeah.
Just be happy and help others. So, and stay in service mode. So.
I think that's all that anyone wants is to be happy. And I think we're going to see some more fluctuations with volcanic activity and stuff like that. And see, reading this book of Shiji, it blows me out because she goes into how energetically where we are on galactic plane, the energy's affecting the tectonic plates, and within, it's pushing for more volcanoes, and that this is happening to everybody in the solar system. So everything's heating up, and it's not like global warming, what people think. It's actually coming from within with how the oceans are heating up and everything too. So because of where we are energetically, there's going to be way more changes on that scale. And it's us adjusting to the new energies because the old energies can't exist where we're going.
No.
So the old patterns and all, everything has to go as well. And I guess it's just up to people where they want to be at. Do they want to go kicking and screaming, or do they just want to, you know, be happy and just go, well, stop it, I'm just going to go with the flow.
Yeah, well, you know, what else can you do? I mean, we got rid of our TV a year and a half ago. I keep up with the world through the internet. But you've only got to look around at the world at the change that's happening. You know, there seems to be a whole string, and some people will be upset that I say this, of false flags, you know, happening around the world. And, you know, to an awake mind, it's pretty obvious, you know, that it is, a lot of stuff is faked and or pushed on us for fear. And I find that exciting in a way, because I always think that if the powers that be, or whoever, the Illuminati or whatever you want to call it, are trying to fear the people, they're doing it for a reason. And it's not just their agenda to take over. It's the fact that there is a lot of us waking up, and it's like they're squeezing for control. And that's actually, you know, everything's perception. You can see it as the bad man and it's fearful, or you can say we must be doing well because they seem pretty scared, you know. It's a fine line. It's a fine line. But I'm just trying to stay happy. I'm studying exploring unified physics. I'm hoping that Nassim comes through with his energy device this year, because he did promise 2015 around September. And he's had some help on the inside to get that happening. And I truly think that this year is about waking up so that we can have a world shift, a world view. We're not disconnected. We're not lacking. This is an abundant world. We're all connected. The only thing that's missing is human beings taking responsibility for their lives and in their thoughts mainly, because our thoughts create our reality. And you know, the power of our mind, we can change anything. So
you remind me just a second ago.
Humanity is to start being responsible and know your own mind. And if it isn't happy and it isn't good, do something about it, because you can create it all with your mind.
No, that's exactly right. It's all through thought, and it's taking self-responsibility.
Absolutely. You know, like with my centre, you know, there's been some upset, and I could go, you know, that really sucks, or I could say, actually, I asked for change, and this is just the universe delivering it, and thank them and move on. And that's what I'm choosing to do. And the moment I let go of control or any fear, you know, because I had a few sleepless nights, I put a lot of money and effort into that place, and I do love it. At the moment I let go of fear and control, you know, 10 doorways opened up and I've got more work. I said to the universe, all right, I'm broke. The kids drained me at Christmas and New Year and I drained me. And I had 11 clients booked by the end of the day.
That's awesome.
So you just have to, your thoughts create your reality and we are taken care of.
Which reminds me to tell you, I didn't do the tapping that we're going to do, but I have quit cigarettes and it's almost been... Wait, I met Sol on the 20th of June. It was about a fortnight before that. So since the 20th of June, July, August, September, October, November, almost for 7 months I've been off the smokes, cold turkey.
Well done. Love does wonderful things.
It does. Well, I was with Giles and he's just like, I hated the taste, I hated the smell, but I needed something to do because I don't drink, you know, I hadn't smoked any of the funny stuff for years and I just, you know, that was what I did and it was a form of release. I know so many experiences that do smoke cigarettes, you know, and I think at one stage it's like their vice until they can step in their own power and it's each to their own timing.
You know, I think when people do stuff like that, they actually, you know, drinking, drugs, the whole lot, there's a subconscious or self-conscious doubt that they're missing out on something and they're trying to fill something. And love will fill that. But just knowing yourself, you're not missing out. You know, you were, like you say, you were alone before. You were really isolated. It was something. And then when you found your staff, family and all your support, you can just let that go.
Yeah.
You know, I occasionally will have a drink if I've got friends over or dinner, but I don't need it.
Yeah, I'm pissed off half a beer now. A light beer.
Wonder.
Yeah. Just like halfway through a light beer and I'm like, no more. And they're like, what? And it's like, nah, it's just not for me anymore.
I think when you take responsibility for your life and your actions and your thoughts and you make yourself happy and you find self-love, you just don't need it. You know, I don't know where I'd have time to be drinking or even watching television. Life becomes full in other ways, you know.
Yeah.
And I hope more people can find that.
Well, I haven't watched telly for almost a year, and even on Facebook, I'm like a week behind on when I find out about something happening in France, like a false flag, and then
same.
I'm learning from kids about some plane going missing, and I'm like, all right, what's going, you know.
I think, though, Pete, we all, you know, I've had people say, oh, that's just spiritual wishy-washy, you know, you're not watching TV, you're just not engaging. And what I say to people like that is we all have our role here on the planet. And my role isn't to get up and protest. I've been awake since I was a child. I knew what I was here for, and I'm here for consciousness. And so my job and my best effort to the world is to take care of me and be happy. I mean, I'm still active in the world, and I'm not complacent or asleep to what's going on, but they're those that aren't awake, that are angry, and they are doing the protest. That's their job, you know, to create global transformation. And I think there are some of us that when that transformation happens and there is a world shift, because I do strongly know that it is coming, you know, just looking at the New Earth Nation with Sasha Stone and Nassim Haramein and all of those people that are actively doing stuff, there's people like us that with our awareness, when change happens, the people that are still yet waking up that need change will have someone to look to help out. You know, my work being able to help people take away fear and things like that. Even just, you know, people like yourself and me and Giles growing food. You know, a lot of city people have no idea about that. We've got skills and different pieces of that puzzle that when transformation happens, we can step in some way and help those that are awakening. And so everyone has their role, and mine's not to protest, because that would take me into a lower vibration.
Well, I think when you do that, it's actually using the format that the powers that be created to make you think you've created change when you sign a petition or do protest. Sure. You're using their system, and they will give you the illusion of change. Just like if there is disclosure tomorrow, I'm not going to believe it in a proper way in terms of the intent behind it, because it's going to fit their agenda where... Look, what, like Giles says, nearly everything is not nuts and bolts with this. And to deal with this, we need a higher level of consciousness as a collective. Absolutely. Then will there be a disclosure that's unbounded on another level?
Well, that's what we're doing. We are feeding back to the collective. Our minds are constant. We're never separate, as you know. So that's why I feel it's our job to, you know, to keep our consciousness high and stay in a heart space. Well, my job anyway, I've battled with that, you know, about whether I should do more on a different level, but they keep telling me, no, just keep doing what you're doing and help as many people as you can, because you can't change others, you can only change yourself, and you can only feed back to the grid what you do. And you're right, if there was disclosure on the television either, I wouldn't believe it. I'd be saying, what's the agenda going on behind that? Because disclosure's coming from us.
Yeah.
From us. That's what the groups are about. Disclosure's already here. It's just building momentum.
Yeah.
You know, disclosure comes when you have an experience that rocks your world and that makes you think differently forever and makes you ponder the universe and what's out there and what we're doing here, you know?
No, so, 100% agree. Look, we'll wrap it up. Is there anything? Oh, I'm going to have a link underneath this to your website so people can go there, and there's links to Facebook to like you there and everything from that as well. Is there anything you want to leave the people with before we wrap it up?
Yeah, sure. If anyone out there in the wonderful World Wide Web is interested in doing a healing retreat this year, really looking at your core beliefs and programming and being able to let them go permanently, you learn a modality, you can work on yourself forever, or someone who just wants to expand themselves, they can contact me through my website or send me an email, aussiesetti@gmail.com, or give me a call, 04-2828-4140, because I'm really excited about this work. Or, you know, if people want to have a chat, and I'm pretty busy. So
are you doing clients over Skype at all?
I have done some, yeah, with the thought field therapy. The sound, not so much. It's just not the same. So, yeah, definitely thought field therapy and the talking and the core stuff I can do over Skype. But, you know, don't be offended if I don't get back to you the following day. I'm pretty busy. Some people it's a couple of weeks. The phone goes nonstop. And
I know what it's like. Oh.
I'm getting 60 or 70 emails a day and... I'm doing my best.
Yeah, I know exactly what it's like, though. I just try to keep up with the getting back to people as much as you can, and sometimes you'll let some slip here and there, but you do what you can.
I need to get, you know, MailChimp or something, an automated service happening now that just responds.
We need a friggin' secretary.
Oh, yes, a little slave.
That would help. That would help. Oh, jeez. Sol's been saying that to me too. You need a secretary, but I haven't got the friggin' money to pay for it. A slave would be good.
That's the thing about this field and healing, you know, when you're coming from your heart, you're not making thousands of dollars, are you, Pete?
Nah. It's quite the opposite. But we do get enough to get by.
Well, all my bills are paid and, you know, I've got no debt and I'm feeding three kids and... And we're doing all right, actually.
Which is better than probably 90% of the world, I think.
Yeah, and I'm doing what I love, so how blessed is that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Definitely. All right, Dahl, we'll wrap it up there.
Yeah, good to see you, Pete.
We'll do another update in some time. We'll let things go for a bit, but I just want to keep everyone in touch with what you're doing, and thank you for doing what you do, Dahl. And when me and Sol get up there, we'll be popping through.
I would love that, and, yeah, we'll do a night watch and yeah, we have a big one. It'll be great.
That'll be awesome. All right, Dahl.
Love you.
Love you. Take it easy, Dahl.
Bye. Bye.